Hi, Betsy Fisher here with the occasional episode of 1000 Fibers Connect Us, conversations about the particular clothing in our closets and the broader role of clothing in our lives. My guest today is Marta Hill Gray, and Marta and I had the pleasure of meeting at one of Chris Rieke's amazing networking events. So folks, look Chris Rieke up. She has the amazing restaurant E. Rieke on 19th Street downtown. But I digress, and I just want to tell you about meeting Marta. It was the day I took a collection of clothing over to the Dude event, and there was a tall, gorgeous woman looking through the clothes, and I beelined for her, knowing that we would connect. And it's true. We share a passion for clothing and in a passion for an appreciation of how good clothing makes you feel. So Marta and I became friends through the years, and Marta had an interesting journey through COVID. Marta, will you please tell people what you did before COVID and where you are now?
Hi, Betsy. Thank you. Yes. Well, I have always been in media and marketing. I started my career. I'm from Los Angeles. And so I did various things in television and commercials. I was a host on one of the first shopping channels, which is always a giggle because you're talking and you have this, what they call an IFB in your ear. And they're saying, keep talking because the model's zipper broke. And so the woman there would have sort of a sweatshirt with a leopard print with jewel tone eyes or something. And you've really exhausted all the benefits of that. And you're thinking, what else can I say? So never was so much said about so little is one of my favorite lines. But it did give me an appreciation for how to talk to people. So I was also in sales and back in the day when there was media before the electronic age, papers, newspapers, conferences, magazines, that kind of thing, sold space and advertising and had clients and got into all of that internationally and went to work at Sesame Street as the head of their sponsorship. And then I transitioned into women's health. For some reason, I got caught up in learning that clinical trials up until the 90s were only done on men on medication. And I just really annoyed me. And I have been upset about that ever since. I think that's an understatement. But through that all, I always wanted to present myself a certain way. My grandmother always dressed beautifully. My mother had been a model. And I really found that how you present yourself makes all the difference, especially being in sales. People will respond to you differently. I was chatting with somebody the other day of saying, I remember when we used to get dressed up to fly, because when you wanted an upgrade, you wanted to have it together so that you would get the upgrade. And if you were dressed well, they generally rolled you in if there was space. I don't know that they do that anymore, but that was a thing back in the day. So I was in women's health and worked as a contractor for nonprofit organizations, for pharmaceutical companies, for other organizations, doing openings, conferences, fundraising, all kinds of different things. And then when COVID came along, a lot of my work was suspended. And I thought, gosh darn, what am I going to do? And we didn't know how long it was going to last, if the world was going to end. And a woman I had met at the Dude dinner, who was a recruiter, reached out to me and said, we have an opportunity here with this low-income senior housing facility, which I thought, you have got to be kidding me. I mean, that's just so far from anything I had thought about. But I did see an opportunity because someone needed to help raise the profile and make this an issue. And I'm a girl who loves a cause. So the more I explored it, the more interested I became in it, because I've always had an affection for older adults. I was well-loved and was in love with my grandparents, who were so kind and taught me how to love. And so I definitely have an appreciation for that. And I was also the person who was there for them when they passed away. And that was my great privilege and honor. So I know the value of that. And it's very tender for me. So off I went into it, not knowing, called it my COVID job, sort of a wink and a nod, and it completely permeated my DNA. And now I am a fighter for care and the rights of older adults, especially those who have outlived their means and can't really pay for their own care anymore. We don't have a system that's set up to look after that in any large part. So it tends to fall on communities and organizations to help raise money to pay for care. And I'm talking basic. I'm not talking luxury. So that's my thing. And it's an honor to serve this population.
Marta, I find the story touching. I've gotten to hear it once or twice, and it touches me deeply every time. And folks, we started a collection called Wearing Love on our website. And it took a while for me to figure out if there was any charity that I wanted to partner with, because I believe that the big ones, your money gets lost. I don't want dollars I raise to go to hiring the next graphic designer, even though that person is one of the most important persons on the team. But this one touched me because I've also watched my parents die. I've been with them as they lose their ability to do their buttons, to be comfortable in clothing. And yet clothing remains meaningful to both my father and my mother, even as they were hitting their end phases of life. And in fact, it was a delight to be able to watch their eyes light up if I brought my mother the right sweater, or my dad, if I fixed the cuffs on his shirt so that he could do them with Velcro instead of the buttons and feel dignified at work. So there is something really profound about the relationship of clothing, identity, and how it matters from basically the day your mom puts you in the cutest little outfit she ever saw to the day that you're taking your last breath. And I wanted to honor how important that is to me. And I met Marta, and Marta took this job, and holy cow, it was just serendipity to put this all together. So exactly last year at our pop, Marta came and spoke with our designers, and we had a dinner, and Hilton Hollis spoke about how much it mattered when his mother had cancer that she wore a beautiful shirt to treatment. And then each of us had a story going around that table, and that is how we wound up with this idea that until we could make our own pieces for Wearing Love, our designers would actually choose a piece that they could present to our crowd, and proceeds from the sale of those pieces would go to help fund Marta's Legacy of Grace. And Marta, why don't you mention what Legacy of Grace is?
Well, this organization that I am the head of was started by a Unitarian church in the 60s. And there wasn't any place in this Arlington, Virginia, to house low-income seniors. And so he challenged the congregation to build it, to raise the money and build it. And in 1975, the first building opened. And while we're no longer directly affiliated with that church, we still exist because of the grace of so many people who have given time, money, resources, the grace of the county to help us with a partial subsidy, and then the grace of donors that I work with and shake my tin cup in front of every day to say, this is a life or death safety net for a population that we want to continue for generations to come. So it's just not for the people today, but it's for the people in 10, 20, 30 years, because we don't see this as changing. So the Legacy of Grace is our legacy, and it's the legacy that we want to leave behind. So when I think about what's going to be there in 15 years when I'm not there, how much money will we have put together that can help subsidize the care of those who need it so desperately at a critical point in their life?
Marta, it's an honor. And it's an honor to help build that fund, because I would love for that to be a sustaining fund through time. That would be terrific. And it's actually a nice time too to actually chat about the way clothing does matter to people. So I would love it if you would talk about how even an 82-year-old finds great pleasure in dressing.
Yes. Well, of my many residents, and you might imagine at this age, we have probably, two-thirds to one-third female to male population. But I was mentioning earlier to you, I have a woman who is dealing with pancreatic cancer now. However, she came out the other day with her wig on and her cute outfit. And she said, I've just decided that I'm going to dress up today to cheer myself up because I'm not giving up. And I thought, that is the power of clothing. And it doesn't matter where you buy it, although Betsy, you're always my first choice. but it doesn't matter. It's the way that clothing makes you feel. And I notice with my ladies when I walk through the dining room, and I like to, because they do still make an effort and they get their hair done and they put their lipstick on and They have a nice shirt on. A lot of them are knitters, so they'll make these beautiful sweaters that they wrap around. And it really does give them a lift. And it shows to Goya, as I say, that it doesn't matter how old you are, you're still in there, your spirit's still in there, and clothing and beautiful clothing can really transform how you feel and how you look at the world.
I agree. There's something I wanted to tell you too about my husband's cousin had cancer twice. And in fact, she finished one set of treatments, was fine for 9 months, and then developed a different kind of cancer. And one of the things she told me, and this is one of the reasons we wanted to start wearing love, was that she would make this huge effort to dress for treatment. So she would make sure that she even had a matching hat to go with whatever sweater or top she was wearing in her pants. Mm. And she said the difference in how she got treated by the nurses and the doctors was significant. So for example, she's presenting herself as, I will get better. I am in a good place. You're going to help me. And people respond to that. So both you responding to your client who has pancreatic cancer and the doctors responding to my cousin Anne, it's just a win for people to remember that that their outside can show their beauty on the inside too. And it helps. It just really helps in the world to go out about and show that you're in the game.
Well, and what I love about what you're doing and how it benefits our residents is people get to find out about you and people get to know your heart and people get to be introduced to some of your great designers and great lines that you have. And they get a piece of that, knowing that some of that comes to our legacy of grace. But then they also get introduced to some of, you know, the many magnificent things that you carry and at many different price points. So that's fun for me because I'm sharing that now with all my donors and whatnot. You've got to come to our POP event and guess what? These folks are helping us raise money. So it's a really unique idea. And even I have two residents who want to buy some bracelets because they're excited about that. And so these are people that may only live on $2,000 a month, but they want a bracelet. And so I really find that heartwarming.
I think Joni Opono will be gratified to hear that. I certainly am. Marta, you're making me remember that everybody out who's listening to this probably has an idea about what would make clothing more comfortable as you lose dexterity. They've probably watched a friend or themselves been in a situation where it's just a little bit more difficult to get dressed, and yet dressing remains important. So anybody who's listening, if you've got thoughts on what makes clothing easy to get in and out of, I would really like to hear them, because eventually it's taking some time. When Mijong and Hilton and some of our other designers have a moment, we'll collaborate to create a piece that really works well for people who it's difficult to dress. Marta, I just want to say you're coming to POP. You're coming to our cocktail party, which takes place on Friday, April 14th from 5 to 7:30 p.m. And that is a party at which you will be able to see the Wearing Love collection presented. It will be presented throughout the weekend as well. But people have a chance to meet you, to hear about Culpeper Garden and Legacy of Grace in person, and to just enjoy the true fellowship that comes from enjoying clothes together.
Can't wait. And I can't wait to share about our wonderful organization and the impact that you and your organization are making for us. And we get to have fun and enjoy clothes at the same time. So all of it is good. Thank you, Betsy.
You bet. Well, my organization is actually just all our listeners. So thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks for listening. Thanks for shopping. Check out Wearing Love on the site anytime, because parts of the sales of any of those pieces go right to Legacy of Grace. And we look forward to seeing those of you who can be in Washington in just a few weeks. Thank you so much for listening.